While they're going, turn to John 21. Go ahead and turn there. John chapter 21. It's the last chapter in the book of John. We're going to finish up the last chapter in the book of John with our Let Hope In series. We've been talking about hope for a few weeks now. We like hope, right? We like feeling hope. We like even telling some of us, like giving the hope of Jesus to others. Hopefully, if you're a Christian and you've experienced the hope in Jesus that you have, you enjoy giving that to others and telling others about it. But the question has to be asked, what happens when we really mess up? You've felt that hope. You know it comes from Jesus. You know he saved you, maybe. You know he's been there for you. But what happens when you do that, and then you just, I mean, just on a level that you can't even explain, you just mess it up. You just mess up. Well, there's a story in Scripture that highlights that pretty well. Peter, one of Jesus' top three friends, one of his, well, in the inner circle of Jesus' friends, also one of his disciples, one of the closest people to Jesus, heard probably more of Jesus' teachings and saw Jesus do more than maybe anybody else in that time. Jesus was arrested. Peter had just told him, Jesus, if I've got to die with you, I won't let you leave this place. If I've got to die with you, I'll do that. He just told him that not long before. Jesus is arrested. And they take Jesus into the city for an unfair trial, a speedy, unfair trial, for charges that weren't even true against him. But that was all part of God's plan. And Peter, when Jesus was arrested, it says in Scripture that all of the disciples fled. They all ran. And I have to believe that they were probably like Peter, and once they got Jesus into the city, and they all kind of gathered around, they probably weren't with each other, but I can imagine, you know, old Thomas, maybe he was over here in the corner and he was kind of looking around and leaning on a wall and just kind of watching what was going on. And maybe Andrew was in another spot, and there's a hole in the wall, one of the walls, and he could kind of squat down and look, and he was watching what was going on. Well, Peter found himself in the middle of a courtyard around a fire that they had built. Tons of people around, and maybe you know the story. Somebody comes up to him and says, hey, you're one of those guys with Jesus, right? And he's like, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And they ask him again, no. I think you've been with Jesus. I think you've been around him because your accent sounds like him. Like you sound like one of those guys. And he's like, man, I promise you, I don't know what you're talking about. So servant girl even asked him, no. I know, I've seen you with him. I've seen you. You're the guy that's been with him. And he's like, man, I swear you've not seen me. Promise you, you've not seen me with him. And Scripture says at that moment that Jesus and Peter's eyes lock. Jesus doesn't have to say anything, but his eyes say everything. And Peter knew that he had just messed up big time. Three times he had a chance to do good on what he said he would do. I will die with you, Jesus, if that's what it takes. You're not leaving this place without me. I'll die with you. I'll go to the grave for you. Three chances he had maybe to do that, and he denied him three times. And Peter ran off. Now, maybe you've not been in that boat. Maybe you've not been in the courtyard around the fire and people have accused you of being around Jesus and you denied him three times. Maybe that hasn't happened. But probably most of us in here have hit a point in life, and maybe you're in it today, and maybe you hit it a long time ago and you've kind of gotten over it, but it's still in the back of your mind. You just messed up. Maybe some of you, it was recent that you just messed up. And you're like, man, I was doing so good, and I was following Jesus, and then I fell back into things I was doing. And I still love Jesus, but I don't know what he thinks about me now. I don't know what he's trying to do in my life now. We've all got times where we feel like we messed up. So even though we know we have hope in Jesus, what happens when we are like Peter and we know we've messed up? You felt like a huge failure. Maybe you've done something that you think Jesus is ashamed of you of. Maybe it's something like you had a divorce in a family that just doesn't get divorces. Maybe that's it. Maybe you've gotten over that a little bit, but it's still in the back of your mind. I really wonder if Jesus still sees me the same way. I wonder if he still loves me like he says he does. Maybe it's a drug abuse problem you have or have had. Or maybe it's an alcohol abuse problem you have. Maybe you wonder in the middle of that, so I know I've got hope in Jesus, but it doesn't feel like it right now because of the things I've been doing. Maybe you strayed away from church and it's just not number one in your life. Jesus isn't number one in your life anymore. So being around God's people is not number one in your life anymore. And maybe you know better deep down, but you also wonder, man, I've been like that. So what's that mean Jesus thinks of me? Maybe you had a failure and it was a very, very public failure. And maybe if you ask people in this town, maybe they know about it. I don't know. But Peter was the poster child for these huge, public, humiliating, shameful failures. But Peter's also the poster child for hope being restored. And we're going to see that today, I hope. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19 says this. I'll tell you about what happens before this as we go through the sermon, but this is where I want to land today so we don't have to read all of it. When they had eaten breakfast, this is Jesus and, as far as Scripture says, about six or seven of the disciples, we think. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him. "You know I love you." "Feed my lambs," he told them. Second time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." "Shepherd my sheep," he told him. Verse 17, he asked him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." "Feed my sheep," Jesus said. "Truly I tell you that when you were younger, you would tie your belt, walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and will carry you where you don't want to go." He said these things to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, "Follow me." It's interesting. There's a lot of interesting stuff in there. But it's interesting that Jesus, in the hours after, days after, Peter had denied him three times, what Jesus chooses to do with Peter. I think there's two big things that Jesus does with Peter here that he also does with us whenever we've messed up, whenever we've sinned, whenever we've failed. I think there's two big things that Jesus wants us to see. He did this publicly around six or seven other disciples because I think he wanted them to see what he was doing with Peter. He wanted him to see, those other disciples to see, when you mess up, when you fail, this is how I treat you and this is how you've got to treat others. Two big things. Number one, Jesus offered Peter fellowship. He offered him fellowship, friendship. You ever done a friend wrong? And then the next time you see him, you don't know how to act around him? You ever done that? I have. I've done a friend wrong before, and the next time you see him, you don't know how to act around him. And Peter was feeling the same way with Jesus. He had no idea how Jesus was going to react. He wanted to be around Jesus. He loved Jesus. We see that in here. We're going to see that earlier in chapter 21 when I tell you some of the other parts of the story. But Jesus, number one, offered Peter his friendship back. In verse 15, it says, when they had eaten breakfast, or when they had finished eating breakfast, maybe yours says, you say, well, what were they doing? Why did they eat breakfast? Did they go to a house? No, what happened was, so they're all hanging out. Peter and six or seven other disciples are all hanging out. And Peter says, you know what? I'm going to go fishing. Now, for those of you who don't know, that was Peter's original job that he did before Jesus called him and said what he said at the very end of verse 19, which was, follow me, which is awesome that he says it again. He goes back to the beginning and says, you know what? Follow me. Just follow me. And Peter wasn't a perfect dude when Jesus told him to follow him the first time, and he's not a perfect guy now, but he still says simply, follow me. So Peter now has messed up. He doesn't know what Jesus thinks about him. He's upset. They're all hanging out. They all probably don't know what to do. And Peter makes the decision, instead of saying, you know what? Let's go tell people about what Jesus did for us. Peter probably messed up again. And he said, let's go fishing. Now, I'm okay with fishing. And when those white bass fire up down here, you'll see my truck and trailer down here at the city park. And Justin will be up the river somewhere, okay? I'm all right with fishing. It wasn't the fishing that messed them up. It was the fact that they were still forgetting what Jesus had asked them to do, told them to do, commanded them to do, and they're going back to their old ways. Now, we give Peter a bad rap, but Peter wasn't the only one. There were six or seven other guys with him that said, you know what, we'll go fishing too. Let's go get in the boat. So they get in the boat. They start fishing. They had fished all night long. Tell me if you've heard this story before in Scripture. They fished all night long and caught zero fish. Zero fish. And morning comes, the sun comes up, and they're about 100 yards offshore, and they can see this guy. They don't know who it is, but they see this person walking along the shoreline. And he says, hey, do y'all have any fish? He didn't ask if they caught any. He just says, do you have any? And they're like, no, we don't. And they're probably thinking, you know what? We've been through this story before. We've been out all night before, not caught any fish. But they didn't realize yet it was Jesus. He says, hey, do y'all have any fish? No, we don't have any yet. So Jesus does, again, tell me if you've heard this before. Jesus says, well, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. Try fishing over there. And so they do. And their nets are filled so much that they can't even pull them up into the boat. And it says John looks over at Peter and goes, hey man, that's Jesus. And you know what Peter does? I love this part of the story. Because I need to do this sometimes too. Peter takes off. They're 100 yards from the shore. They're heading that direction. They're going back because they can't put these fish in the boat. So they're going back to the shore. They're already rowing that direction. And Peter, not knowing what Jesus is going to say when he gets there, jumps out of that boat and swims to Jesus. And some people would look at that and go, man, that's crazy. Why would he do that? That's stupid. Why would he jump out of the boat? They're going to get there in like 2 or 3 minutes anyway. Why would he waste his energy? Why would he do that? Because he knew there was one person that could fix his problem. And when he knew that dude on the seashore was Jesus, there wasn't any waiting. There was no waiting. And so what Jesus did, so they get there on the shore, and it's funny that Jesus already has a fire going. He's already got fish cooking on the fire. Remember, he asked if they had fish. He's already got fish. Why? Because he's the creator of fish. He can get any fish he wants. So he's got fish there. He's already got bread. Where did he get bread? I don't have any idea, but it says he's got bread. They're cooking these fish, and he tells them, hey, bring a few more fish. We'll cook a few more. They bring a few of the fish. Scripture is very specific. We don't know why this number's in there. 153 fish that they caught. They bring those fish in. Jesus starts cooking on them. They eat breakfast. And you know what doesn't happen when they're eating breakfast? Jesus doesn't go, Peter, have you learned anything? Peter, remember Last time I saw you was after you denied me three times. Peter, are you going to be a better young man? He didn't say any of that. Because I can guarantee you, John, writing this book, seeing how John was, John liked to be number one. It's just how it is. We know that because when they went to the tomb, you remember what it said? It said that him and Peter were running, and John got there first. John made sure to put that in there. So if John would have heard Jesus getting on to Peter, don't you think he would have said that? Because John was there at the cross. John was the only disciple at the cross, only one that didn't leave Jesus or his mother. So don't you think he would have been the one that said, and Jesus said, Peter, you're not a nice young man. You need to be better. You denied me three times. Do you remember how that felt? And it hurt my feelings. Whatever Jesus would have said. But Jesus said none of that. All Jesus wanted Peter to know was that he loved him, was that he was offering him fellowship. Because it says, after they had eaten breakfast, then he records what he said to Peter. Now, I'm sure he talked to Peter before that, but it was stuff like, man, that boat looks good. I mean, has your dad been working on it? I mean, that looks good. Are those new nets? I mean, last time I saw your dad's nets, man, they didn't look that good. Did you get some new nets? How'd you catch 153 fish and not tear the net? I mean, isn't that amazing? Peter, are you going to go back into fishing? I mean, is this something you know, are you going to, is this going to be a hobby or what's going to happen? We don't know what Jesus said. It's not recorded what Jesus told Peter, but he offered him friendship and he offered him fellowship. It's all Jesus wanted was Peter's friendship. And he offered that love and fellowship first. Jesus' actions show that to us. And his words, or his lack of words that are recorded, show that to us. Just come on, eat breakfast, man. Peter had swam to him, and he just said, come on, eat some breakfast. Maybe they thought about what Jesus had told him in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, he said this, come to me all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, just come on. I just want to be your friend. I just want to love on you. And you know what? We can learn a whole stinking lot about how to treat people by watching Jesus in this interaction. I don't know what people have done to you, but you've never been the Son of God dying for somebody's sins and somebody deny you three times. You've never done that. Now, you might have done a lot, but I can promise you've never done that or had that done to you by somebody else. So, Jesus is kind of the top rung. He's kind of the apex of learning here. We can learn from that. How do we treat people? Well, you offer them love. You offer them fellowship. You offer them friendship. That's not the only thing Jesus offered. The second thing he offered was a calling on Peter's life. Now, he had already done that. He had already told them back earlier when he told Peter and Andrew to follow him, he just said, follow me. And Peter came, right? And he followed him for 3 years, and he saw everything he did, and he heard everything he said, and he heard the teachings, and he was there for all the big stuff. He was told that he wasn't going to be fishing for fish anymore. He's going to be fishing for men. So Peter already had a calling on his life, but he had lost that calling. He had forgotten that calling, and if he didn't forget it, he sure thought he wasn't going to be able to be used with it anymore. Because he had done this wrong thing, this big wrong thing, by the way, and he thought, well, Jesus, there's no way Jesus can use me anymore. I'm not as good as I used to be. There's no way Jesus can let me fish for men anymore. So I better go back to fishing for fish. But he offered a new calling on his life also. Peter denied him three times. What did Jesus do? He asked him about loving him three different times. And then he encouraged him. He followed up with encouraging him to serve him each time. He didn't say, now listen, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. all right, go feed my lambs, go shepherd my sheep. And he didn't say after that, but make sure you get better first. Make sure you get this thing behind you first. Make sure you are worthy first. He didn't say any of that stuff. He said, go do it. Go take off and do it. Do you love me? Well, then go serve me. Don't wash up first. Don't get yourself clean first. Why? Because he couldn't do that. Because we're sinful people. We're not going to get ourselves good enough to go serve God. You and I are never going to be good enough to serve God. But he uses us anyway. Anyway, he uses us. Do you love me? Yeah, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yeah, yes, I love you. Shepherd my sheep. Do you love me? God, you know, Jesus, you know everything. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Not get better first and feed my sheep. He was reminding Peter that he had a calling on his life. He doesn't just want Peter's friendship. He wants Peter's devotion and he wants Peter's service. He was Peter's friend, but he was also his Lord and his God. Just because Peter had failed, and he failed horribly, by the way, he didn't mean Jesus was done using him. You know why he asked if he loved him? Because love is always tied to serving people. The calling on our lives is tied to and flows out of our love for Jesus. If I didn't love Jesus, I wouldn't be preaching, I can promise you that. If you didn't love Jesus, some of you wouldn't be teaching Sunday school classes. Some of you wouldn't be playing in the praise band. Some of you wouldn't be doing sound and video stuff. Some of you wouldn't serve in other ways in the church. You wouldn't be counting money every week. You wouldn't be doing this. You wouldn't be doing that. If you didn't love Jesus, your love of Jesus means you serve him. It means you know the calling that he has on your life. And Jesus just wanted to remind Peter of that. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Well, then serve me. Do what you've been doing. Don't sulk around. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. Just go do it. Go do it. Jesus had to remind him of that. Remind him of the calling that he had put on his life. Well, so what if we get there? What if we realize we've failed, but we want to come back to Jesus? What's that look like? You say, well, it could look different for different people. I don't know. I don't know that it does. I think it looks just like Peter. Look at verse 7 and 8. How do we approach Jesus after we have failed miserably to follow him? How do we approach him? The disciple, the one Jesus loved, by the way, that's John calling himself that, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Simon Peter heard it was the Lord. He tied his outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off, and he plunged into the sea. Since they were not far from land, about 100 yards, the other disciples came in the boat dragging a net full of fish. That's how you come back to Jesus. You don't wait. You don't say, well, you know what? I'll get there eventually. The boat's heading that way. I'm going to get there eventually. No. That's not the way to get back to Jesus. If you have failed, if you have messed up, if you have sinned, and you think you have done something that God doesn't love you anymore, that Jesus can't use you anymore, number one, you're wrong. He wants to use you. He wants your friendship. He wants the fellowship with you. He has a calling on your life. But to get back to that, it doesn't happen in little increments. It doesn't happen eventually. It doesn't happen eventually. It can happen now. If you want to get back to Jesus, take the coat off, jump in the water, swim to him. Get there any way you can. Get back to him now. That's the point. Return to him now. Don't hesitate. Don't think. Don't wonder if he'll accept you back. Just jump in and get to him. That's how you get back to Jesus. That's how you have hope restored in your life. You always run back to Jesus. You know a way, we talked about this past couple Wednesday nights. You know, one of the ways the Holy Spirit reminds us that we're saved, because every time you and I feel like we failed, our first response is that when we get with Jesus again, we jump out of the boat and we swim straight to Him. We don't hesitate. We get back to Jesus however we can. That's how the Holy Spirit lets you know that you're a follower of His. Because if you don't follow Jesus, if it was just an emotional thing, if it was just something that happened, something you did because your friends did it or whatever, or you're just a church person, you come here because it's something to do on Sunday, if that's all you are, when you mess up, you'll be like, yeah, but it's okay. It ain't no big deal. God says He forgives me, so it's no big deal. I'll try to do better one day. That's what it sounds like for a non-Christian. For a Christian, though, when you're saved, when you know you've failed, you get back to Him as soon as you can. As soon as you know you've messed up, you're getting back to Jesus. For Peter, it was jumping out of a perfectly good boat. Who knows what it is for you? Who knows what it is for me? But it happens immediately. It happens instantly. There's no hesitation. There's no eventually getting back to Jesus. No. When you failed, when you know you need Jesus and you see Him again and that is made real to you that I failed you and here He is in front of me. No. And this morning is one of those times you jump and you get to Him. You swim to Him. You run to Him. Whatever it takes. When Jesus restores hope in your life, He doesn't just give you another chance. He forgives you. He changes your life, and He puts you on mission for Him again. He puts you in that calling for Him again. That's what He does. Do you need to jump out of the boat this morning? Do you need to get back in line with Jesus today? Do you need to quit hesitating? Do you need to quit saying, eventually I'll get back on line with Jesus? Because if you consider yourself a Christian, that's not in your heart to eventually get back in touch with Jesus. It's just not how it works. If you love your family, you're not going to say, well, you know, eventually I'll see him one day. If you know your family's hurting or you know your family needs you, what are you going to do? You're going to jump in the car. You're going to jump on the bicycle. You're going to walk across the road. Whatever you got to do, you're going to get to them. I'll be no different. It ought to be even more important for us to get back to Jesus. Peter knew that. Peter had his hope restored on that beach that morning. Do you need your hope restored today? Well, it's up to you, because Jesus is there to do it. You just got to run back to Him. You just got to get back to Him. You got to put all that other junk behind you. Leave all the other junk in the boat that doesn't matter. Jump in and get back to Jesus. There's no failure you have failed Him with that's too much to be forgiven. And there's nothing you've done and no route you've taken to where you can't be used by God again. None. Peter pretty much did the worst. And Jesus' response was, okay, if you love me, go serve me. Quit sitting here. Quit fishing. Quit doing all these things you used to do. Go serve me. Go do it. Maybe you need Jesus today. Maybe you've never followed Jesus and you're just lost. You're lost in this world. You don't know what to do. You don't know what would happen to you if your life was to end today. You don't know who you'd be with. You don't have any hope for a future. You don't have any hope for eternity because you don't know Jesus. Jesus will give you that hope as well. And He'll do the exact same thing. He'll forgive you. He'll put a calling on your life. He'll give you gifts to be able to use for Him. He'll want you to serve Him. But the biggest part is that He'll forgive you. He'll give you a brand new life if you'll let Him. Do you need Him to do that today? If you need Him to do that, same response. There's no eventually giving your life to Jesus. No, there's no eventually doing it. There's a, I know I need Him, and I've got to get to Him. So you come down here. If we start singing, you come down here. If you need me, I'll show you exactly what it means to be saved, exactly in Scripture what it means to give your life to Jesus. And today you can leave here with a brand new life, a brand new heart, feeling like you've never felt before. That can happen today. If you're unsure about coming by yourself, grab a friend. Come down here. If you need to just come down here and pray something out and you don't want to come by yourself, grab somebody beside you. They'll come with you. If that person won't, grab the next one. Come down here. And when you come down, the person that didn't come with you, you pray for them too. But you come down here, all right? Use this time. Give this time to the Lord. Rush to Him.
Don't wait anymore. Rush to him. No hesitation. No eventually getting back to Jesus. Get to him now. Let's get this fixed in our lives now. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for today. Thank you for the simple message in Scripture, Jesus, of you for a man who denied you three times. You offered him fellowship. You offered him friendship when he thought he had messed all that up. Jesus, we can learn from that, not only how you will respond to us, but how we can respond to others. And then Jesus, you didn't just leave him with a good friend in you. You reminded him of the calling he had on his life. No matter what he had messed up with, Lord, he was going to mess up again. No matter what he had done, he was going to do it again. He might even do worse. But Jesus, you do forgive, you do love, you do intend to use us for your glory. And Lord, what we didn't even talk about was at the end of that where Jesus actually told Peter how he would ultimately glorify God by giving his life up for him. Lord, I don't even like thinking about that. I don't like thinking about leaving this earth. But Lord, I like thinking about being with you. And I hope my life would be one that would be used to glorify you. Not just in my death, but in my life right now. Use me, Jesus. Use me to reach people for you. Use me to share your love with people. Use me to give the kind of friendship you've given me to others. Lord, you've got a calling on our lives. Help us to live in it. Use it for your glory. Lord, help us to rush this morning to be down here. If we need to be down here, if we need to pray something out, we need to find out about you saving us and forgiving us, Jesus. Whatever it might be, help us not to wait another second, but to get down here now. We love you, Jesus. We ask it in your name. Amen.